You are listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends. I'm Phil Hewlett. I thank you for tuning in. This is the talk show where you get nothing but fun, informative, and sometimes unexpected conversation about the stories you care about most. You'll hear from the experts, authors, and others, and we hope to put a little smile on your face along the way. On today's show, the film freak Leo Quinones joins us to help you pick between Denzel Washington or the Box Trolls and the things you are doing right now to sabotage your relationships. We'll help you cut it out. Let's meet the friends. She's neither an attorney nor a general. It's Erin Myers.
Yes, expect a big announcement coming from the White House a little bit later today. I'll tell you what they're going to be talking about.
Always searching for the perfect meal, Jay Capadonia is here.
We all love a good burger, but what about one that tastes like human flesh?
No!
I'll tell you where you can get one.
Following controversy in sports today, it's Chris Martin.
Tonight's Thursday night football game will feature Washington, D.C. and New York, and people may be tuning in to hear what is not said.
Oh, all right. We'll figure out what that means coming up in just a little bit. Let's get things started. And again, thank you for checking out the program and check out our new website, philhewlettandfriends.com. It's all brand new. It's all designed by the Web Munchkins, who did a fine job, I think. So, big announcement from the White House. Somebody in, somebody out? What's going on?
Well, it looks like somebody is going to be out, and that is Attorney General Eric Holder. So they're saying after 5.5 years, he will announce. Yes. He will. How do you feel about that one?
Oh, I'm keeping my mouth shut.
Okay. Well, anyways, yeah, they're going to announce, they believe, his plans to resign today, possibly around 4:30 when President Obama makes an announcement, a personal announcement. And they say this decision will likely set up a confirmation battle that will help either, you know, define President Obama's second term. Republicans most likely are going to retake the Senate in November, so they either need to find a compromise candidate or it could be an all-out war. And, you know, we do know Holder is the first African-American U.S. Attorney General, and he did find himself in a lot of hot water throughout his tenure. He was in the middle of things like the Fast and Furious scandal.
You know.
I was going to ask why he's getting out now, and it just dawned on me. It's somebody's about to announce their candidacy, and
you think?
And the November elections are coming, and so they don't want to bring Fast and Furious into the equation.
Exactly,
this is one way to squelch that a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. I think they're trying to, you know, get rid of some kind of drama before, you know, new things start happening. Because, you know, during the financial meltdown and, you know, when national security leaks, he was really targeting reporters. So just a lot of stuff that people weren't so happy about.
Is there anybody left in the cabinet from the original couple of weeks?
I don't think so.
No?
I'm not sure. That's a great question. If they are, they're smart because they're quiet.
They go unnoticed, yes.
Yeah, exactly.
But this is not unlike most presidencies. I mean, there's a lot of turnover in the cabinet.
Right. And the campaigns are going to start in January. You know, they're going to start in January. You're going to see. Well, you see Hillary
for 2016.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Hillary has already been to Iowa. Chris Christie's been to Iowa. Rick Perry's been to Iowa. All of these guys who are potential candidates are already running. And the Democrats say, you know what? We got a lot of baggage.
Has the mayor of Toronto been to Iowa yet?
I don't know. I'd vote for him. That'd be great.
Would you?
It would be entertained
just
then,
at least. Coke in the Oval Office.
Wow. Wonder if that's ever happened.
We would be very entertained.
Yes, we would. All right. Well, there you go. Thanks for bringing us up to speed on that, Erin. And there's another update that you have, bringing it closer to home, right off the Santa Monica Freeway, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, this is a big deal, a big story out here in Los Angeles. About July 1st, that was when a woman, she was repeatedly hit by a CHP officer punching her on the side of the freeway. Well, yesterday they said that she reached a settlement offer of $1.5 million, and the officer has decided to resign. But he could still be facing criminal charges, but nothing has been filed yet. And we do know her name is Marlene Pinnock, and it said she is bipolar and she had been off her medications.
And she was homeless at the time.
Yeah. And, you know, she did say she thought he was trying to kill her and things like that. But it was still, you know, the video was horrible. We saw it. It was bad.
And she was walking in the freeway lanes barefoot.
Well,
it was
a scary
situation.
Yeah. And I love how the CHP was like, oh, well, the officer originally pulled her out of traffic. She wasn't in traffic. The video clearly shows that. I thought 1.5 was a little bit low, to be honest. After watching the video.
What would you say would be fair?
I'm sure they asked for 5, you know, or they asked for 10, and they're like.
A cozy round number.
Yeah, yes. Exactly.
1.5 is not a cozy round number.
No. Yeah, but for the officer to resign, I mean, cops have done a lot worse, and they're still on the force. Just saying.
It was all caught on video, though. That always helps when like that.
No car accidents and nobody died. Is that what you're saying?
Well.
So he was doing his job.
Yeah, nobody got shot. No unarmed teen got shot.
All right. Well, don't go there.
All right.
Yikes. Yikes.
Gonna say take a hike if you start going there.
No, I won't. I won't.
Yeah, well, you can if you really want to in Utah, because that's where at Red Mountain Resort, there is a program with the Ivins Animal Shelter in Ivins, Utah, where guests staying at the resort actually get to hike with shelter dogs, and it's called the Pound Puppy Hike. Now, the yes, it's very sweet.
And then,
everybody can do a big aw at once for dogs. Yes, there we go. Oh, dogs are brought... They're cute. One by one to head down the hiking trails in the area. The hikes last up to 2 hours. And the really neat thing about this is some of these guests, they actually end up adopting the dogs. And so far, they've adopted about 30 in total from guests that are staying at the hotel.
Wow. So it's like a pre-trial adoption.
Yeah. I mean, and people are suckers. So you go let them have a little bit of bonding time with the dog. Trust me, I know from personal experience, a little time, and you're like, oh, you're coming with me. So, very cute, though.
Yeah, that's the oldest sales trick in the book, right?
Mm-hmm.
You let somebody hold a puppy, and they
it's
can't help
it. It's a test drive.
Yeah, how can you refuse a puppy? Come on.
Yeah, exactly. All right, well, we're putting
like
the,
this. I don't want you in my house.
There's I can't do that.
There's a link to that. And what's it called again? The Pound Puppy what?
The Pound Puppy Hike.
All right.
Cute.
That's going to be up on our links page at Phil Hewlett and Friends in just a moment. We'll let you know as soon as the...
Put those munchkins to work. I told you, buy a whip. They will listen.
A whip?
Yes.
You're brutal.
The web
that's
munchkins.
That's a little harsh.
I can't say munchkins today, but anyway.
No, but you can certainly talk about this hamburger. Is it made out of human flesh or it tastes like
it? No, it tastes like human flesh. So they say. So London gourmet chefs, you know, over there, they're like, we're better than Americans and we can cook better than you do. So because of the AMC's Walking Dead show or whatever, the London chef says that he's kind of a fan. So he decided to come out with the human flesh burger.
Yuck.
It's created to celebrate the fifth season of The Walking Dead. And here's what's kind of weird is they used testimonials from famous cannibals in history to develop what goes into the human flesh burger.
You mean like Jeffrey Dahmer, people like that?
No, I don't think...
He's not alive, is he?
No.
They read his diaries.
No, not Dahmer, but probably, cannibals and, other parts of the
Hannibal
world.
Hannibal Lecter?
Yeah, exactly. Other parts of the world where, it just kind of happens there.
Oh, okay.
But here's what's in it. And to be honest, I am not... Yeah. If you're queasy, turn it down a little bit.
Uh-oh.
The burger contains pork, veal, chicken livers, and bone marrow.
Well, come on. People eat bone marrow all the time.
Do they?
Yes.
It's not good. I've tried it once and I made a face.
Who eats bone marrow? Isn't that stuff like, aren't you supposed to donate it to cancer patients?
No. Well, yes. What? But that's not what we're talking about.
That's the right thing to do with
it. Right, but what, like...
You don't donate the bone marrow from a cow's thigh.
Oh, people eat that?
Yes.
It's very British, actually.
What the hell?
Yeah.
And everywhere else, for that matter. It's only in the United States where we're squeamish about stuff. Everywhere else in the world, if you kill an animal to eat, they eat all of it.
Okay, so for the record, both of you have had squid ink and bone marrow.
Correct.
Disgusting. Both of you are gross.
I didn't say I liked either one of them, but I've tried it.
But here's the thing with the bone marrow. I mean, you get some somebody from a third world upbringing who's come here. And they still enjoy the things that they enjoyed when they were a kid. The way you eat the bone marrow is you just pick up one of those bone slices and you start making those weird sucking noises.
Are you kidding?
No, you suck it right out of the bone.
Are you kidding?
Or you can pull it. Yeah,
well,
it's
they have special spoons made out of silver.
Well, like an oyster?
If you're
sugar?
One of those English guys who thinks he's better than everybody else, you get one of those special marrow spoons.
A little dainty spoon.
But if you're anybody else, you make that sucking noise and it...
Yeah. No, thank you. Anyways, on your burger, it comes in about a slider size, and it's got one leaf of lettuce, one slice of cheese, and ketchup.
And the bone marrow gives it that human flesh flavor.
I guess. I don't know.
Has anyone actually, checked their kitchen, though, just to make sure that's actually what they're doing and there's not something worse going on back there?
I'll check the freezers.
Don't know.
Just in case, you know?
I don't know.
Oh, man. All right. Well, as controversial as that sounds... It may even get more controversial tonight, and it's only because it's a football game, Chris.
Yeah. There's a Thursday night football game on tonight in the NFL, And the Washington Redskins are going to be playing the New York Giants. And Phil Simms has vowed to try and not say Redskins during the entire broadcast.
What?
He does the color commentary for CBS, right?
Yeah, Jim Nance is the headline guy, and he does the color commentary. And he says he's going to try and just simply call them Washington, the former Giants quarterback. He says he's not taking sides, but is sensitive to the complaints that the term is offensive.
Wow.
So, you know, Jim Nance also responded to this because he's going to get asked about it. And Jim Nance says, look, it's not my job to take a stance on this issue. So he will probably use the
It's one of those. It's one of those drinking games, right? You watch the game and every time somebody
Great
says
idea.
Redskins, mm-hmm. you get a drink, right?
Yeah, and I'm curious. I think a lot of people would tune in. I'm interested just to see if Phil Simms can make it the entire game without saying it, even accidentally.
This could be a hybrid drinking game. So you expect Simms is going to say Washington each time, right?
Yeah.
All right, so when he screws up and he says, Washington, that's got to be more than a drink, right?
Yeah, that's a double.
Is that a double?
Yeah,
when
why not?
Simms almost or completely. Okay, so almost says Redskins. That's a double. What if he says Redskins completely?
Chug.
Yeah, that's it.
That's a chug?
That's a full chug.
You got to pull down a pitcher.
Yikes.
Yeah.
You're not going to be watching the rest of the game.
The fire water, right?
Yeah, but that's the point. Drinking games, right?
Yeah.
That's the point.
Halftime, it's all over.
Yeah, it's like I don't even remember waking up this
morning. Does anybody even – I mean, I'm not following football, okay, because the Rams left Los Angeles 20 years ago. But does anybody care that the Redskins or Giants are playing other than this little controversy?
Well, they're both 1-2 teams, so it's not like they've come out of the gate on fire. And he is kind of all alone on this because most TV commentators have been using the term Redskins since preseason.
Because
and
it's the name,
the
it's the name of the team.
It That's sure who they are. Mm-hmm.
Well, then somebody should create this drinking game because it'll probably get them more publicity and a bigger audience.
I thought
just for
we
their
just
season.
Did.
Yeah, well, we need to spread the word then.
Speaking of a little breaking news on what Aaron brought us right now.
What's that?
About Eric Holder. Obama is speaking as we do the show live right now. Obama is speaking about Eric Holder as we speak.
And did he accept his resignation or did he say, I'm sorry, not going to happen?
Looks like it. Looks like it.
Do we know who his replacement's going to be?
Well, no, that's
Is there any ideas about that?
Going to take a while.
Yeah, there's already got to be lists out though, right? Of
short
potential
lists,
candidates.
Long
yeah.
lists.
Just curious.
All sorts of lists. All right. Later in the program, by the way, our movie guy is not here today. He's deeply involved and with Rosh Hashanah, which we respect, and he's having the day off. And so the film freak, Leo Kanonis, is going to be on with us in our second half hour. And coming up next, I have no idea. It's a gambit. We're going to spin the wheel of remarkably ridiculous stories because we did a little show prep and we have a nice list of stories. I can't believe any of them are true, but you'll decide next here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Ports of Call Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials, as well as the South Bay's best bottomless champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Ports of Call Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsofcalldining.com or call 310-833-3553. All right, it's Phil Hewlett and Friends. We're back, and we're glad you are, too. Tell your friends. Let's multiply. Let's reproduce.
What?
Listeners.
Oh.
I'm Phil Hewlett. That's Jay Campidonia there, and the laughter was from Aaron Myers, and Chris Martin is here, staying mum. And it's probably a good thing.
Oh!
All right, so let's get things rolling once again. It's, you know, we're getting close to the time of year where we're going to be pounding down the food for the holidays, and sometimes we want to get a head start on the exercise so that we have a little something to lose.
You know, I love exercise. I just don't do it.
Right.
But I do enjoy it. But there's a new study that says not exercising might actually be good for you.
Oh.
In one way.
How's that?
Study published in the Scandinavian Journal of Medicine and Science and Sports.
They know what they're talking about?
I don't know, but they say there's a link between bad oral health and vigorous exercise.
Oh.
Yes. Now, they interviewed around 300 athletes, and they have cavities. They're at risk for tooth decay, often in conjunction with gum disease and erosion of the tooth enamel. And here's kind of the interesting part. They didn't really understand why.
Of course.
Okay, they didn't really understand why, like, if you jog or if you're an athlete or whatever, you have bad teeth. But the study did suggest that the dental problems come from the sugary sports drinks.
Really?
That would make sense.
All
I
right,
can,
so see,
I
thought.
I see that, yeah.
Right?
I thought you were going to start talking about impact.
Yes, like, you know.
How?
Chomping your teeth together.
What the hell was that?
Those are the noises you make when you exercise.
Exactly. I guess.
If you exercise more often, you would have known
this.
You're
running and your teeth are grinding or chomping down. That's what I meant. Yeah.
By the way, when I do exercise, use gum. That helps that.
Okay.
But yeah, so sugary drinks and these like these bars that everybody eats, like the protein bars or whatever, get stuck in your teeth.
Sugary.
And you don't, when's the last... You go work out, the last thing you want to do is brush your teeth. You want to take a shower, relax a little bit after.
And you're not flossing when you're on the treadmill.
Exactly. No. So that might have something to do with it. So they say if you want to exercise vigorously, drink water, not so many sports drinks.
Yeah.
But you should only drink sports drinks when you're doing really, like you said, vigorous activities.
Vigorous activities.
And not during normal exercise.
Exactly. Not if you're walking around the block, fatty.
Yeah. No.
That's why I brush my teeth in the shower, because then it, you know. You're forced to take a shower. You have to take a shower after you exercise. And then the toothpaste and the toothbrush is there. You get it done.
Well, you don't have to.
Yeah. All right.
But it's a good combination.
If you're gross, you don't have to.
Yeah.
Well, on this topic, guys, it's officially fall. It's 6 months of being able to hide any unwanted lumpiness under big sweaters and jackets.
I cannot wait.
Which means it's time to eat. Yes. It certainly is. And if you've noticed you've been eating a little more heartily these past few weeks, you're not alone. A new study found that September is the second fattest month of the year.
Thank God it's almost over.
There's only one month where people gain more weight. Do you know what it is?
October.
December.
It's December, of course.
Yeah.
You get everybody together for feasts for various reasons, and there you go. And I think when you eat Thanksgiving dinner, you keep eating all those leftovers well into the first week of December.
Exactly. And, you know, September's interesting because you just spent all summer looking good at the beach.
Yep.
September comes and you're like, screw it. I'm eating. Order pizzas.
It's chow time.
Yeah, exactly.
And here's the other thing. People put on an average of 2 pounds this month.
Oh, my God.
2 pounds.
That's it?
Well, compared to 4 pounds in December.
Oh, come on. You can do better
it
than that.
It starts to add up.
So that's six. And we're not mentioning November. So I'm guessing maybe November is 1.5 pounds. So now you're talking 6.5 pounds between now and the end of the year. And then all the candy at Halloween.
Yeah, that's where it starts, really.
Maybe you're talking 8 pounds.
Yep. And then January 1st, you're like, I'm going to exercise and lose all this weight. Nope.
Yeah.
So here's the thing. You lose all kinds of weight for summer. The top 5 months for gaining weight in order are... the biggest, December, then September, August, November, and October.
There you go.
So.
See, August, summer's winding down.
Yeah.
You start a chow down.
Mm-hmm. Right. So since you were able to get into that bikini, it started to get a little tight by the end of the summer.
Yep.
And you're going to have to start it all over again with your January New Year's resolution.
You drink more, too, and that adds a lot of calories. Those are just empty calories, just sitting around, you know, talking with family and boozing it up.
Incidentally,
we
lose the most weight in January and the second most in June, which is right before
summer
when you want to squeeze into that bikini
once again. Yep. That little two-piece.
Doesn't that make sense? We are victims of our own expectations.
We're just fat.
Why not just accept it?
Yeah. Who cares?
Fat love. Let's go.
Chub love. I like that.
Hey, you know what? Hockey season is here. And every time we have the Canadian hockey teams, we get the Canadian national anthem and our very own American national anthem,
why
the Star-Spangled Banner. I don't know why they sing the anthem. There was a reason for it, but it's the league says now that you have to sing an anthem before it. But you sing the Canadian and the American, and we have Europeans on the teams too. Mm-hmm. But we have Canadian teams and we have American teams. We don't have European teams yet. So there you go. Those are the two anthems that you hear. Canadian only when a Canadian team is in town. unless you're a Canadian team, then they have it every night. But there's something amiss, something afoot when it comes to the folks in Duke, Canada, and they're talking about their anthem, Chris, aren't they?
They are. Again, by the way, this isn't the first time that Canadians have talked about their anthem, but a member of the Canadian Liberal Party is calling for the Canadian National Anthem to be updated. The bill claims that the words are sexist.
How wow. in the world? There's hardly anything. There's just like four lines in the Canadian National Anthem.
There's not many. And I just have it pulled up.
Harriet says, O Canada,
yes.
our home and native land,
yes.
true patriot love in all thy sons' command.
Oh, that is sexist, Phil.
That is sexist?
In all thy whose command?
Sons.
Where no. the daughters?
Yeah, it's exactly right. Sons and daughters. So
they have daughters in Canada?
They do, apparently. And they're claiming that what they want to do is they want to change that to all of our command. So then it includes everybody. So it'll make it gender inclusive and represent the evolution of society, Phil.
But there's no like biblical reference, you know, all thy sons. Now, when you get us, is there a biblical way to say us?
I don't know. Ours. To me, our does seem maybe a little bit biblical, too.
Our? The hour is upon us.
I think they should just make up an entire new word.
Yeah, the bill does only seek to change the English version of the anthem.
You can't make everybody happy. Throw out the whole song.
You speak French, yours is safe.
Hey, a couple of blockbusters are headed to your local Cineplex this weekend, but are they worth your dollar or 20? The film freak, Leo Kanonis, joins us live next right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends. Oh, here we go. It's time to start thinking about what's going to be at the theater this weekend so that we can go out and watch a good movie or two or three, and maybe there are that many available for us this weekend.
I don't have enough money for three.
Well, you know, maybe you're an upstanding member of the media community. Maybe you could just call up the movie house and ask for a pass, press pass. I want to review your movie.
That's a good idea.
He's a what-standing member?
Yeah.
You know, it's a scam. All the media guys, all the guys that do the movie reviews, they've got this scam figured out. They get to go to all the movies for free. And somebody who has mastered this scam is Leo Kanonis. He's the film freak. Filmfreak.com. He's never spent a dime on a movie.
You know, you want to hear a funny story, guys? Hello, everybody.
Hello.
Hello.
What's happening, Leo?
I went to see Michael Keaton's film Birdman. But what's funny is 25 years ago, I went to Westwood, and I crashed the Batman screening. I crashed it, absolutely. It wasn't invited. I found my way in there. And here I am 25 years later, and I'm checking out the new Michael Keaton movie, and he was there. And I'm going to guarantee this, throwing down right now before you four, Michael Keaton, Oscar nomination for his performance in a movie called Birdman.
Wow. All right. We're gonna remember that.
Next week.
Hey, you know what? While we have you, and you mentioned crashing the Batman movie, Aaron, don't you have some related Batman stuff just to throw out so Leo can hear it and he can respond?
I would love it.
Yeah. Real quick, I guess, Batman versus Superman, Dawn of Justice, that's coming out in 2016, they released a picture of the Batmobile.
Sure.
And they were saying that the cost, if somebody really wanted to have one, I guess would be $9 million.
And we have that picture
yes.
posted on our show fun page at Phil Hewlett and Friends, and that is some kind of vehicle. Looks like you could take on ISIS with that thing.
Yeah, it's scary looking.
2016. Isn't that amazing how far off it is?
It is, but we're already talking about it because it could be the biggest movie of 2016.
I can't wait.
But right now we've got some potential blockbusters opening this weekend. Ben Kingsley reprises his role as Gandhi in Box Trolls.
Box Trolls, I'm fascinated by the whole stop animation thing, Phil. I got to be honest with you. The way they take, you know, it takes 1 week to do about, I don't know, 4 seconds of footage because they do 48 photos per second.
Aaron's doing the math over here.
It's
so
crazy.
How long did it take to make this movie, Aaron?
I'm still thinking about that one, yeah.
47 years. I just did
I know,
the math.
Right?
It's really insane. So I kind of love that world. The Box Trolls, well, let's start with that. It's basically a British humor, and it's dark for young kids, 4 or 5, maybe even 6 years old. But anything after that, it kind of opens up that whole world. And again, it's not that Rankin Bass thing that I remember from when I was a kid, but it really is a masterful job, and it's a lot of fun, and I would certainly suggest that as good family entertainment.
Oh, good. And so it's going to do well. And so Ben Kingsley, Toni Collette, Elle Fanning, Jared Harris, mm-hmm. Nick Frost. Tracy Morgan almost died making this movie.
Well, you know what? The thing about these stop animation things, their performances were done so long ago, you know. So, again, you know, I highly suggest, let me give you the top five. How about that? We'll just pick right through it. You want to do that, Phil?
Yeah, go for it.
All right, number five is a dramedy. This is Where I Leave You. This is Where I Dump You. This is Where I Kick You to the Curb. This is the one with Jason Bateman, Tina Fey, Jane Fonda. I love that film.
But it opened last week.
It opened last week. It's at number five. It's up to about $20 million. Again, if you're looking for something that's without a car crash, that's your movie right there.
All right.
Now, number four, car crashes. Let's go to A Walk Among the Tombstones, Liam Neeson.
And he's got a particular set of skills. And that opened, what, last weekend or the weekend before that?
Last weekend. It's about $25 million. Suspense thriller. It's a steady tone. It's a slow burn. And as the movie progresses, you can feel, you know, you're getting a little more tense. And it's, you know, it's really about abduction and terrible things that happen to people. It is tough to watch. It's a tough R. But it's, if you want Liam Neeson, there he is.
Okay, good.
Number three is going to be Box Trolls. Going to make about $14 to $16 million.
That's all?
Yeah, that's all. That's actually really good because these things tend to have legs through the Halloween season.
Oh.
This one's going to work for all kids.
So it'll make $110 by the end of the year.
No, I'll give you about $60, $65.
Oh, see, that doesn't seem like enough to pay a guy like Ben Kingsley.
Well, you know, Ben Kingsley is probably in his PJs, probably did four or five recording sessions and was out of there.
Yeah, all right.
Okay, number two, I really enjoyed this film. I didn't think I was going to like it. Maybe I'm getting cynical, but I really like The Maze Runner.
Yeah.
Maze Runner.
Isn't that for teenage girls?
What's that?
Isn't that movie for teenage girls?
I would say it's all a bunch of guys, and they're kind of stuck in the middle of this maze, and they're basically a human experiment.
And they're all dreamy, right?
I don't know. It depends.
They're too young to be dreamy.
You know, are your dreams harrowing or not? I mean, they're not all dreamy. So you're outside the maze, and then you're inside the maze. And I was expecting, you know, the typical computer-generated green screen and all that stuff. But no, the effects were fantastic, and it was really a fun ride. The Maze Runner is going to make about another $17.5 million. But the number one film this weekend, and I'm going to go see it right after the show.
Yeah.
Denzel Washington is back in The Equalizer from the TV show from not too long ago.
I used to love watching Edward Woodward as the, we used to call him Eek.
Mm-hmm.
And there were actually two or three iterations of The Equalizer on TV, but I used to love that show because he was one of these guys. He'd come up to you unassuming. You think, oh, just some old guy, but then he could disarm you. He could kill you. He could do all kinds of things, and he was this serious secret agent.
What's funny about this is Denzel, in his 30-year career, that brilliant career of his, he's never done a sequel. Sony's already greenlit a sequel to this. They're really high on this film. It's going to make between $30 and $35 million. It reteams him with Antoine Fuqua, where he won the Academy Award for Training Day.
Yeah.
It's rated R. And what I love about this character and what I can't wait to see on screen is Denzel kind of implementing an OCD behavior trait into the character.
Yeah, with the watch and setting the timer and how long it takes him to disable or kill somebody, right?
Also, it gets down to the minutia of just, like, fixing the drapes exactly the right way. It didn't make it into the film, but he really went all out on the OCD thing. And, you know, Denzel's going to, you know, $30 to $35 million. So, again, this is box office gold. Shot on a $55 million budget. They're going to make their money back in a couple of weeks. Denzel is still the man.
Looks like a great movie. All right, good. Anything worth looking forward to in the near future?
Bill Murray, crotchety old dude, St. Vincent.
Oh.
I think I've seen a preview for this.
Oh.
Yeah, when he's sitting in the lawn chair and he's got the kid mowing his dirt yard.
Right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, awesome. He's like, I'm teaching him about the world, you know, make money and then you can drink. And Bill Murray is classic. It stole my heart. It's St. Vincent. That's coming up in the next couple of weeks, guys.
Filmfreak.com. Go to the website. Spend an entire week there. There's a link on our links page in case you forgot the words film freak, but he is him. It's Leo Kanonis. Thanks for spending some time with us today.
Thank you guys so much. I'll talk to you soon.
See you at the movies. I like saying that to movie reviewers.
Do you?
Yeah, see you at the movies.
That's good.
Did somebody used to say that? Was that somebody's out cue? A famous guy?
Sounds Siskel and Ebert-ish.
Was it?
Yeah, and maybe it's Roper's thing now, but I have heard it also.
Have you?
Aren't they both dead?
Roper's dead. Roper's still kicking.
Siskel and Ebert both.
Oh, Siskel. Siskel had a brain tumor.
Gene Siskel, yeah.
Right?
They're both dead.
Yeah, but confirmed, yeah, they both have
our
passed
executive
on.
Producer, Mike Stark, just confirmed both dead. Both still dead.
Both dead.
But Roper carries on their legacy.
Not dead yet.
Right.
Ah.
We just have to clear these things up.
Yeah, thank you for doing that.
Yeah, all right. Do you panic when your significant other doesn't respond to a text? Or do you find yourself getting involved with unavailable people? You'll learn how you are subconsciously sabotaging your relationships. Now, these are just two examples. There are a whole bunch of them. But we have an expert who can help you next, right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing, a cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door, and the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com. Yes, you are listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends. I'm Phil Hewlett. Aaron Myers, Jake Hampedonia, Chris Martin, they're all here. They're the friends, and we count you among them. All right, do you panic when your significant other doesn't respond to your texts? I hope you don't, but it's probably not all that unusual. If you're the type of person who does things that destroy relationships, maybe you don't know you do these things or what exactly you're doing that drives people away from you. Or maybe you know somebody who does this and you need the research to meddle in their life. Well, then you're in luck, because joining us live and chuckling at that a bit of insight is Doctor of Psychology, Michelle Skeen. Is that how you say your last name? Skeen?
Yeah, Skeen. Yeah, and you can call me Mike. Mike, Michelle.
Michelle, your friends call you Mike? You've written a new book. It's called Love Me, Don't Leave Me, and it's very telling, that title. It's available in the store at philhewlettandfriends.com right now. I imagine it's not all that uncommon for people to sabotage their relationships. Am I right?
No, it's not. I think that fear can drive us to behave in ways that gets us further away from what we truly desire.
And so do we try hard to avoid abandonment, or do we actually cause it to happen when we do that?
It can look a number of different ways. So it might be like clinging. So becoming too clingy with someone because you fear they're going to leave you, and that can often result in them leaving you because you're not providing enough individual space for them in the relationship. Or there's always that preemptive strike, leave before they can leave you.
Yeah. And what does it say about us then if we have to have a relationship? Some of us could care less, but some of us have to have a relationship to feel, I don't know what it is that we have to feel. Is it validation if we don't have somebody who says they love us? You know, tell me you love me. Why haven't you said you love me in the last 5 minutes? What does that say about us?
Well, I don't feel bad for you. You have so many friends there, Phil.
Yes, I surround myself with friends just so people
right?
believe
so
that
you,
I'm happening.
You may have an abandonment issue. We can chat after
that. Oh, look at that.
Oh, wow.
Set an appointment today.
Yes, I need the couch. Please get me on the couch. All right, so go ahead.
Well, we're human beings. I mean, we're wired to connect. So It's not odd that we would want to have a relationship. I think so often what happens is that desire is sabotaged by our fears of what the outcome could potentially be. And none of us are really great with uncertainty or ambiguity. So oftentimes we behave in ways that will provide us with that certainty, even if it's not the outcome that we really want. So a lot of times we need to just get in touch with what our behavior is around this issue.
All right. And this issue, this behavior, does it overflow from our love life into our professional life?
Oh, you know, it's interesting. I think it depends upon the individual. I really think that some people are really great at separating that, and it's why it's really difficult. It's easier, although it's becoming increasingly more difficult to notice it in women, but it's easier to notice it in women than men, because I think that successful men can disguise it in several ways. One, they can be focused on work and people don't say, wow, what's wrong with that guy? He's not married. But they would say that about a woman in a similar situation. And men can also have the ability to choose women who might be more reliant on them financially, that would put them in a situation of not having the person they're dating leave them, you know, would give a more of a power dynamic that would make them feel more secure in the relationship. So I think that women are more vulnerable in this situation.
You know, Michelle, our guy here, Chris Martin, he has a question for you. Single guy.
Yeah.
Currently,
hello.
Currently not dating or just available?
I'm not dating.
But available.
I mean, I am available. Yeah, sure. I'm available.
But
let's
you're not
test
in a hurry.
Our listenership.
You're not in a hurry, though.
No, I'm in no hurry. And I was actually just reading an article recently, Michelle, that said that the percentage of married people in America is at the highest, at the lowest that it's ever been. It was saying that 20% of Americans have never been married. And I'm curious if you think that these newer generations of people are a little bit, they're moving away from this neediness behavior when it comes to relationships.
Well, I'm wondering if part of it is that they're just moving, that they've realized that we have long lives potentially.
Right.
And I know I have twin boys who are in their early 20s, and I, you know, they don't talk about getting married. But when discussions have come up, I think they don't see themselves getting married and having that kind of traditional life that you know, past generations have thought of until they're well into their 30s. Of course, men can make those choices, right, because their biological clocks don't tick in the same way that women's do.
Yeah.
But I think that maybe they're choosing a less traditional route. But I also think that you're right in that maybe there is a larger population of this younger generation that are exploring individual aspects of their lives and don't just think of themselves in terms of being coupled.
Mm. Do you have any tips, maybe some communication skills we can use to help a relationship thrive?
Well, communication is key. I think a lot of what's happening, I've had a lot of frustrating situations with communication lately. I think, first of all, you need to engage in it, but you also need to be present for it. And so often we're running other communications through our filter of past experiences or predicting where they might be going with their communication. So mindfulness, staying in the moment, trying not to judge what's happening in the moment and experiencing the moment, I think is a great life lesson.
So you're saying that we can't watch football and have a meaningful conversation?
Oh, you
probably
can.
Not.
You can. If you're really nice.
Oh, you got to be nice.
At the right time.
I have a question for you. Do you see, I've noticed that a lot of times with relationships, sometimes communication can be very difficult. Have you noticed any increase where people try to do it through emails or texts instead of doing things face to face where maybe it's a little bit harder or, you know, afraid of confrontation?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of avoidance, and I think that email and text can help us avoid these situations and potentially uncomfortable conversations that we don't want to have. And if you're anticipating that you're going to get rejected. We may all choose to have that rejection happen over a text or an email than in person. But again, that's a lot of the predicting. One, I was recently interviewed for an article because there are some new apps out that are actually really great for communication. And I think this one company is called Couple Communication, and they actually prompt you to use a lot of the, to speak in the kind of language that you need to speak in when you're having healthy communication with people, like validation and active listening and some of the things that are in my book. So I think if people are in a long distance relationship or they're not able to talk face to face, there are healthier ways to do it. But I think that a lot of people are avoiding difficult conversations by texting, or I'm sure all of you have gotten the text, oh, I can't make it, sorry, have to cancel.
Hmm.
Well, really, you can't pick up the phone and even make that call, mm-hmm. right?
Please make the call.
Yes, common courtesy.
You know what? I feel so much more loved and less likely to be abandoned after speaking with you, Dr.
Well,
Michelle Skeen.
Your friends there, you're never going to be abandoned.
No, I'm keeping them. I'm
even
clinging.
If one of them left, you still have two, right?
Yes, but then still, what does that say about me if one leaves? Please don't leave me. Oh, my gosh.
Don't leave me.
That's the name of the book, and we'd love for you to get it today. It's in the store at philhewlettandfriends.com. And Dr. Michelle Skeen, it's such a pleasure to speak with you.
Thank you, Phil, Jay, Aaron, and Chris.
Oh,
thank
look at
you.
That.
You.
That's how you do it, right? Mm-hmm. You'll never leave her now, will you?
Mm-hmm.
But she's leaving us.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Oh, gosh. She's left. Now what? What can we do?
Your sadness is apparent.
You want to get even more sad? You want to know about a groundhog? This is going to make you sad. Chris?
Yes.
Take sadness to an all-time low, will you please?
Well, nothing is sadder than the death of a groundhog, Phil. And there's a little bit of controversy on whether or not the Staten Island Zoo covered up a murder.
A murder?
What?
It was recently released that the famous groundhog, Staten Island Chuck, died only 1 week after New York Mayor Bill de Blasio dropped him on his head at a photo op. I have to admit, I saw the video. The groundhog actually did get pretty squirrely and kind of jumped out of his hands, but jumped a solid 6.5 feet onto concrete and landed headfirst.
Oh.
That's so sad.
The zoo has responded and said that they don't believe that the mayor caused the groundhog's death. And the truth of the matter is that these animals have short lifespans and they are in constant rotation.
What's the name of the groundhog?
Groundhog's Day. His name's Staten Island Chuck, but get this, after he passed away, they found out it was a she, so now they're referring to her as Staten Island Charlotte.
They really love that groundhog.
In memoriam. Yeah. Hey, that's it for hour one of the show, and there's so much more to come, including what can you do with your iPhone 6 now that you've found out there's some serious concerns, including what happens to it if you wear skinny jeans. Plus, two stories where sex toys figure prominently for no apparent reason. That and a whole lot more in our second hour of Phil Hewlett and Friends. Coming up next!
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing. A cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door. And the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the Day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com. You are listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends, and this is hour two of the talk show, where you get nothing but fun, informative, and sometimes unexpected conversation about the stories you care about most. You'll hear from the experts, authors, and others. And we hope to put a little smile on your face along the way. In fact, I'm giddy now because this hour, Bendgate. You know what that is? What's going to happen to all those poor saps, millions of them, who bought iPhones and didn't expect their iPhone to bend in their pockets. Our tech guy is going to be here to help you out. The friends are here, too. Aaron Myers, Jay Capadonia, Chris Martin, everybody with a smile on their face. I'm Phil Hewlett. Thanks for tuning in. Want to get things started here with you, Aaron. I love the stories that have a vague hockey reference to them, even though it has nothing to do with hockey. And you have one of these.
Yes, yes. It's quite funny, actually, and for us, maybe not for the person it happened to. But Toronto police, they arrested a man on Tuesday named Nardio. I'll just use his first name.
Nardio is his
Nardio,
first name?
Nardio. At least that's what it looks like. N-A-R-D-E-O.
Cool. It's like a superhero name.
Nardio. Yeah.
I am Nardio.
Well, he's not going to feel like a superhero after this, because he was charged with an indecent act and failure to comply with probation. And this all happened in a subway station where Nardio approached a group of females that were sitting on a bench, and he performed this indecent act.
Uh-oh.
And
his superpower?
Yes, I guess it was.
The old windmill?
The windmill. That, oh, boy. I don't even want to think about where you're going with that one.
Too late.
Yeah. Now my mind is going into the gutter. Thank you so much. well, the women, they called the police, and they gave him the description, and they said he was wearing a bright white Toronto Maple Leafs jersey, shorts, and that his jersey smartly had his name Nardio on the back of it.
Yeah.
So Nardio got caught.
That's hilarious.
Yes, and his superpowers then failed him.
Yeah. Unfortunate name if you think about the superpowers, huh?
Exactly.
Yeah. That's some kind of a freak right there. While we're talking about people with superpowers, oh, you love the Batman. And we talked about this Batmobile for sale, of course. And let's see. What else do we have? We've got, help me out here. You have another story. Oh, I know. There's a restaurant that we don't have out here yet, do we? But we might have it soon, because it is growing at an alarming, I don't know if it's alarming, but it's outgrowing its brasier, so to
yes,
speak.
Yes, pretty much, because, well, it is considered a restaurant, and it is the fastest growing food chain in America, and it is called Twin Peaks. And now, I guess they market themselves as a racier version of Hooters.
Yeah.
And, now it is doing well. They have 57 locations and $165 million in sales last year.
Yeah.
So, fastest growing chain in the U.S. And, of course, if you're a man, you get to see some, you know, cute women dressed in, they have beautiful hair, makeup. They're usually very slender.
Well, yeah. If you're a woman, you can see them too, by the way.
Well, you can see them, but it's not the same emotion sometimes.
Well, you love the beautiful hair and the makeup. Yes. I mean, women like looking at that.
Yes.
Exactly.
Talk about the stuff the guys like.
We appreciate it. Well, the girls wear fur-lined boots, khaki hot pants, and skimpy plaid tops that accentuate cleavage, and they're kind of like tied under their rib cage.
Oh.
So it's, you know, becoming quite popular. And the funny thing is, you look at the picture of the food, it actually doesn't look that bad. It's not like Hooters style. It looks like real kind of yummy stuff. So,
oh, like
food,
gourmet chicken wings?
Almost gourmet looking, yes. So good food and some hot girls for all the men. Yeah.
I stopped listening when you said pants.
Hot pants?
Yeah. You said khaki, though.
Well, khaki hot pants.
They're dressed like lumberjacks.
Yes.
Oh.
Khaki pants, yes. And a flannel, like, yeah, red and black flannel
furry
top.
Boots.
Now, if they bring out a chainsaw midway, you know,
that's
like
cool.
Somebody's birthday, they fire up the chainsaw and play happy birthday with the chainsaw.
And start juggling them.
You remember that story you told us about the lumberjack challenge or whatever?
Yeah. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah.
What if the girls did that in the middle of the restaurant, like a dinner and a show?
Oh, chop something up?
Yeah, like chop down a tree, use an axe.
Climb up a telephone pole.
These outfits, yeah, things would be popping out.
That's
trying
the
to do
point.
That. I
Thank
know,
you very
but,
much.
I mean,
yes, but all the fun ends when somebody puts an axe in their foot.
Yeah, right.
Or other body parts.
Are you saying beautiful women can't use an axe?
No, but it's only a matter of time before an accident happens. Come on.
That's hilarious.
You ever, has a waitress ever dropped a food server? Has a food server ever dropped a drink or a plate of food?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Of course. So how long will it be before something happens with the axe or the chainsaw for that matter?
Yeah. You're asking for trouble.
Yes, you are. Now, if we're asking for this kind of entertainment at a restaurant, there are some places where they take it a step further.
Mm-hmm.
Is this a restaurant that serves Danish, or it's a restaurant in Denmark?
It is a restaurant in Copenhagen, Denmark, yes. And the female staff there, it is all female. They actually wear hot pants too and little tank tops.
Wow.
But that's not the exciting part, I guess. The restaurant is called Hot Buns. And And yes, they sell burgers, and now, as of today, they are also adding sex toys to their menu.
Wait a minute.
Yes, they are. Sex-oriented products, including vibrators and whips, which I feel weird just saying that out loud because it seems so inappropriate
imagine for a moment, lady.
Saying
imagine for a moment that you're in Denmark and, yes. and, you know, the mores are different. Everybody's okay talking about this sort of
yes.
thing. All right, proceed. What else do they have on the menu?
Oh, certain kinds of rings for men and,
What kind?
Wedding?
I'm just giving you the evil look right now. That's
hands,
what you're getting.
For their fingers,
rings? Yes, for certain parts of the male body.
Oh.
Yes.
Not the fingers.
Not the fingers.
All right, I think we got you.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So
what
the
about
other
for the
interesting,
ladies?
The ladies, vibrators, things like that. Yes.
Okay.
The other thing that's interesting, though, is they have an Instagram page, and on it, the restaurant posts cleavage shots of their servers, and followers can guess who it is.
I love that.
Guess the cleavage?
I love
yes,
that.
Yes, they guess the cleavage.
Twin Peaks needs to do this. Hooters needs. That is a fun, interactive way to get customers. I love
it's
that idea.
Probably
as
working.
If the sex toys weren't interactive. Enough.
No, well, that's true.
And you know what was behind this? The owner said that, you know, he goes, you know, Friday, Saturday nights, people think of two things, sex and food. So he combined them.
Well, there you go.
It's a good business model.
Now, do you want to get your meal served to you at a booth at this place?
Probably not.
Yeah. I think you want a table and a chair, a hard wooden chair right in the middle of the restaurant where you can kind of see what's been going on prior to you getting there.
Yeah, they probably use a fire hose after they close every single night.
To disinfect.
I think I don't even want one of those Parmesan cheese shakers on my table.
Oh, God. Jesus, Phil.
I don't even know what that means. But what do people do with all these sex toys, Jay?
Well, I tell you what, one guy, he's paying off his 160 grand tax bill with his collection. Guy in Topeka, Kansas, defaulted on his tax bill. 160 grand. Now, he had a business selling the sex toys, but he also had a personal collection. So after the government came in and seized all of his business toys, if you will, he still owed over 100 grand. So he's selling his own. Now, this is what's great. His collection includes lingerie, handcuffs.
Yeah.
I didn't even know these existed. Remote-controlled vibrating thongs.
Remote-controlled?
Oh, yeah.
Or do you, like, have a friend control
it? Sure. Tell me more, Aaron.
Never mind.
Oh, yeah. Oh, sure. Remote-controlled thongs.
His company is United Outlets LLC, but the storefront was named Bang.
All right.
So is he doing a garage sale? Just going to, like, spread it all out on his front lawn?
Pretty much. He has to sell it by himself because the government in Topeka, Kansas, or the city government out there, doesn't have enough resources to hold a warehouse. But he's got them all out on display. He rented a warehouse. He's got them all out on display. So if you want to go check them out.
But question with this. They're his personal ones. So are people going to want to buy something that somebody else's
it doesn't say they're used, but a lot of guys have like G.I. Joe collections, and what makes them more valuable is when you keep them in the box. So I'm guessing if he's got a collection.
Well, let's hope they're all in the box then, because otherwise that's a little sketchy.
Yeah. Bubble pack.
Yeah.
That's what we're talking about.
Yeah, I think he would keep them in the box because it's a collection. It's like, I'm going to open a museum one day.
Okay.
So they rate the condition like all the way up to mint?
Yeah, I have no idea when it comes to that.
Yeah.
I have no idea.
Gosh, wait, what's that show on PBS where the people bring their stuff?
Antique Roadshow?
Yes.
Yeah.
That would bring a whole new spin to it.
What's this remote-controlled vibrating thong worth?
Oh, my God.
And why is it on the experienced table?
Oh, my God.
Goodness. All right, well, we're all... thrilled that we're coming to the end of baseball season because the postseason is about to begin. We have our Angels and our Dodgers both locked in for the postseason. Dodgers last night. But there's another story bubbling that has baseball historians watching and fans of the Yankees. And Mr. Baseball out there these days is Derek Jeter, and his career's coming to an end, isn't it?
It is, and it's hard to think about baseball and not think about Derek Jeter. And his final game at Yankee Stadium is tonight. This guy's played 22 years, all with the Yankees, most of them as the team captain. He's a staple over there. And fans have paid as much as $15,000 for a seat in the infield grandstands to watch this guy's retirement game.
$15,000?
Yeah, which it's already, it's expensive to get a seat in Yankee Stadium as it is. So there's expectations of the bleacher creatures going nuts and standing ovations at every every at-bat, but Mother Nature is not playing ball right now. It is raining over there, and it may continue to rain. And if the game is canceled, Derek Jeter will never play another game at Yankee Stadium.
Because they're not in contention, right?
No, they are not in contention.
And so
they will not
make the
playoffs.
There's no reason to make up the game.
That's
there's no
sad.
Reason to make up the game. Now, they've had an 8-game homestand coming into this one. This was the final game.
Yeah, but
and
people
he's gotten
paid
standing
big bucks
ovations along the way.
For tonight's game, people have paid big bucks.
Yeah, the stadium's going to lose $12.5 million in paying back all those seat purchases if the game is rained out. But more importantly, Derek Jeter's not going to get the send-off that, you know, everybody works so hard to prepare
he's
for.
He's been sent off 100 times this season.
Yeah,
but this is a big deal tonight. Yeah. So hopefully they're going to wait as long as they can with that tarp out there on the infield, and when it opens up a little bit or starts just sprinkling, they'll start going, and he'll be out there in the rain crying.
When he played against the Rangers, I love former President George Bush walked out and gave him a pair of cowboy boots.
Yeah.
I just like Jeter's like, what the hell am I going to do with these?
Well, he can
stand in Times Square, too.
This whole farewell Jeter thing is out of control, though. Steiner Sports is selling some of Jeter's used game-worn socks. And they're on sale for a measly $410 each. Not a pair.
Whoa.
Each sock.
Wow.
You can't even get a seat in the nosebleeds for that.
Now, the sock has been washed, so unfortunately it won't come with any of Jeter's funk, which honestly seems to devalue it. But it seems to me like once you wash it, right? Because in hockey, they give you the game worn jerseys, they come right off the players' backs.
Yeah,
really?
I bet people go home and they like sleep with that next to them.
Yes.
You know?
God.
I'm sure they do. I'm not saying that's what I do.
It's got my favorite player's DNA on there. Come on.
It's kind of like the magic.
Yeah, it is. So it's unclear how many have been sold so far, but we did check, and the site had only 19 socks available. There also have been a lot of other Jeter things going up for sale. Game-worn uniforms with dirt and grass stains are going for more than $25,000. Game-used bases signed by Jeter are going for $10,000 to $12,500. A signed lineup card has an asking price of $10,000. And used batting gloves go for about $800. Sadly, no game-worn Jeter jock straps are available. To follow up on the previous stories that we had.
So do you think he gets a cut of that?
Well, I don't know. But it seems like it also that this would be cool for charity. But the New York Post says that all the proceeds go to Jeter and the Yankees.
Oh.
A team that's worth more than $2.5 billion.
They should go to some, like, kids' little leagues or
well,
something.
Well, he does have
a
foundation.
Yeah, they should do
something
like that.
So I'm sure
like
he's going to, you know, take all that. Because the guy's a gajillionaire.
When will some of the ladies start selling those gift baskets that Jeter used to hand out for his after his one-night stands?
Oh.
The lady would get a gift basket. The bonded messenger would deliver it. And the basket would have a signed baseball in it and a couple of other things, tickets to a game.
I'll bring mine in. Just kidding.
Yeah, right.
I did meet him once when I was in college, but that's about it.
No gift basket.
No gift basket.
Oh, gosh.
I don't blame them for the Yankees for keeping the money because they have to figure out a way to recoup all the losses of not making the playoffs so many years in a row now.
Right. Okay. Hey, are you a frequent traveler, an air traveler? You might need some training before you die. That story and more next on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Portsacall Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials as well as the South Bay's best bottomless champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Portsacall Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsacalldining.com or call 310-833-3553. You are listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends, and we thank you for doing that. Yes, we do. I'm Phil. Aaron, Jay, and Chris are all here. And Aaron, British Airways is launching a little training program for folks who travel with them, aren't they?
They are, and it actually kind of sounds fun if you don't realize what it's actually for. They're offering a flight safety course for frequent flyers. Now, the half-day course teaches passengers to be aware of their surroundings, how to handle emergencies, and how to learn to brace for a crash. And, you know, they learn how to open the aircraft doors and exiting and how to inflate life vests. And they even get to go down the slide. So that kind of sounds fun when it's done in that way. But
yeah,
this is actually, you know, it's really to teach passengers what to do in an emergency, and costs about $265. And the passengers are put into a 737 cabin simulator and they take
Ooh.
Off. They taxi.
This sounds totally worth it, doesn't
yeah.
it?
It's fun. Yeah.
And then here's where it gets scary, though. All of a sudden the cabin fills with smoke. Flight attendants yell brace,
Ooh.
And then you have to head to the exits. And they say even in, you know, knowing that it's just simulated, people get a little bit nervous. People
yeah,
don't
sure.
always do so well. And the key to survival, though, in all of this, they say, is learning the proper brace position.
Yeah.
What is
so,
that, head between your knees?
You have to bend down, push your feet back, and then they say to put your more dominant hand on your neck and then your less dominant hand on top.
In case you lose it?
In case of one. If the less dominant hand breaks, then you can still use your dominant hand to unbuckle the seatbelt.
So, okay, now here's my question. If I go through the course and I pay the $300 or whatever it is, does that guarantee me the seat next to the emergency exit? Because that's always got the most leg room.
I think yeah. you're still going to have to pay extra
right.
for that.
Oh,
yeah.
That's ridiculous.
I want to do the
yeah.
slide, though, with so many people break an ankle doing that. I don't know. It's a little scary.
It does look fun, though, kind of going down the
You know what's
slide,
fun, though, when you're on a plane is reading the Sky Mall magazine and looking at the silly stuff that's for sale.
Oh, it's awesome.
And they're selling another stupid product. It's a watch called Ticker, T-I-K-K-E-R. It counts down until your death.
Yay.
You think you want to read about your death while you're flying on an airplane?
Not
exactly.
Really.
After taking that course,
it
too.
Figures out your life expectancy using, quote, statistics and a personal health algorithm. Then you literally watch the remaining seconds of your life tick away, and it sells for $79.99.
That's awful.
$80?
$80. You could buy one while you're flying.
Oh, my God. You put it on like you're a heavier person. They're like, how are you not already dead?
Like, the flight is 2 hours long. You have 1 hour and 35 minutes.
You'll be dead on your connecting flight.
Yeah, you'll never make it to Vegas, fatty.
Oh, gosh.
Aww.
So get in the bathroom and start ripping up the toilet paper.
You hear about this Kickstarter campaign?
What's
Guy
that?
Is, he needs $120,000 to create new toilet paper.
How much does he need?
$120,000.
Okay.
Now, this is what he claims, that it will, well, he calls it feces free. Okay. Yeah, I'm going to have to, like, kind of clean this up as I'm reading this. It's actually, like, it's got a pocket design. So you know how, like, you see the commercials and everything is quilted? This is a pocket design, okay? And it guarantees feces-free hands. He's raised $3.
Oh,
when not you, working out so
no,
well.
But when you
no.
say pocket, is it kind of like when you take your dog for a walk, you have the doggy bag, you stick your hand in the doggy bag, pick up the poop, and then
you're
refold
right
it.
You're
you,
right
you
there.
You invert
okay.
the bag.
Yes.
You're
invert
right
the, yeah.
there. Yes.
It's a toilet
so,
paper glove?
Kind of,
yeah.
but it's a piece of paper that is beveled, or, you
wow.
know, it's paper that's beveled, and you just go up.
He's
and
ahead of his time. He's way ahead of his time. He's
I
a,
think
a renaissance
so.
Man.
Yes.
And nobody will realize it until well after he's dead.
Yes.
He says that his design will use less paper, so you can actually contribute to the green movement if you want.
Who cares?
Yeah. He's 19 days from the end of his campaign, $3. So he better hurry up. But I have an update on the potato salad Kickstarter campaign from a while ago.
Really?
Yes. Guy during the summer said, hey, look, I want to make some potato salad. Started a Kickstarter campaign, which is a crowdfunding website, so you can go
yeah.
and donate, and then
yeah.
you get something at the end.
Yeah.
He just wanted $10. Well, he made $55,000.
Insane.
Party. So that's what he said. He says, if you donate to this campaign, I will throw the biggest potato salad party in all of the land, and you are invited to come. He is calling it Potato Stock 2014. It is this Saturday in Columbus, Ohio.
Love it.
Does it say what kind of potato salad is? Is it mustard, mayo? Like, does he have a recipe on there?
There will be 17 different kinds of potato salad at his party.
Potato salad wrestling?
No. Now I'm interested.
Now we're talking about a party.
Yes, but if you donated to the Kickstarter campaign, it does not include airfare. It does not include your hotel. So all it does is include your entry fee.
Oh, just come on out.
So it's going to be his friends and family getting a lot of potato salad.
Probably. It does sound like something to that effect.
Oh, you know what? Sad rock and roll news. Nobody died in this instance, but Chris, we're keeping up with what's happening with one of the main guys of AC/DC.
Yeah, AC/DC's founder, actually, Malcolm Young, he's not returning to the band.
It's official.
It is official. He's been struggling with an undisclosed illness, and you know, friends and relatives are saying he's sick. He's not just unwell. He's been in the hospital for a while. They have a new album, Rock or Bust. He's not included on it, nor will he be on the next tour. So a little bit of a bummer.
Yeah, that is
a bummer. Mm-hmm.
And for so many years. I mean, I remember the first time I heard them was on AM radio, believe it or not.
Wow.
In 1976. But they'd been around since 74, I believe, out of Australia. And just an impact on rock and roll for sure. Hall of Fame, they're not in yet, are they? Oh, they are?
Yeah.
They're already in. Seems like you should be done before you get in, right? Are you tired?
Agreed.
Hey, does your iPhone bend in your pocket? It's not supposed to do that. Did your service provider cut you off when you upgraded to iOS 8? Well, don't worry about it, because our tech guy has answers for you when he joins us next, right here on the show. It's Phil Hewlett and Friends. It's Phil Hewlett and Friends, and it's just amazing the hysteria that goes about when a new iPhone is coming. And you get the feeling that the people that buy the iPhone think they're better than you, but here's proof that maybe they're not.
What?
Jay?
We are better than you.
Yeah, but not all iPhone users.
No.
The ones that fall for some of these.
A lot of them are dumb. There's an ad campaign running around. It's a hoax, ladies and gentlemen, so just hear me out, okay? There's an ad campaign going around saying that the new iPhone 6 has a wave feature which will charge your phone in less than 30 seconds if you put your phone in your microwave.
And then turn it on?
At what setting?
For 30 seconds.
Popcorn?
I believe it is 600 watts.
Okay.
So high, medium,
no,
I don't even know.
That's pretty low. That's actually low.
Just the same.
Yes. So many people have done it here in Los Angeles that the LAPD had to come out and actually make a statement about it.
You have to be an idiot after you spend $700 on a phone.
No.
That's stick it in a microwave.
That's yeah, right. 10 million people. Oh, okay. I get it.
But it's cool. I mean, look, the online ad, it really looks well done. Whoever did it, they did it correctly.
And they have a disdain for iPhone users,
things
obviously.
Things explode in the microwave when you cook them.
There's so much to talk about with this iPhone 6. And joining us live, stepping in at a mere moment's notice, perhaps the most well-known tech guy out there, independent tech podcaster. You no doubt listen to him. You may have donated money to his many causes. Tom Merritt is here with us today. Tom, a pleasure to speak with you again, sir, after so many years talking to you on my morning show in Los Angeles on KFWB. How are you, sir?
No, it's good to talk to you again, Phil. So the microwave charging isn't working for you guys?
No, it didn't. It actually blew up my microwave.
You're probably holding it wrong.
Oh. Yeah, and you know what? People are storing their iPhone incorrectly in their skinny jeans, and they're pulling it out and finding out, hey, it curves. Now how do I make it straight? It's called Bendgate, and tell me what you know about this, Tom.
Yeah, so essentially, every time an iPhone comes out, like you say, there's this high anticipation, and then there's immediately a backlash against something. It's been yellowing screens in the past. It's been purple lens flares. There was the famous antenna gate, where when you held it wrong, it would reduce the reception. And this time, it's bending. The iPhone 6 Plus, particularly, is made of aluminum, and if you put too much stress on it, especially by sticking it in a pocket, whether it's your back pocket or your front pocket, people are finding out it will warp a little. Apple has responded to it today and said, we've only received 9 complaints from people about this. We have titanium struts in there, and you shouldn't, under normal use, see it bend.
But 9 complaints. Is this because iPhone users feel maybe a little too proud to actually say that they bent their iPhone?
They sat on it.
9 complaints and 900 articles about it.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, it's a lot faster to post your picture to a forum on MacRumors.com than it is to go all the way into the store or get on the phone and call in a complaint, I guess.
True, exactly. Now, once it bends, the lens is made out of diamonds or something, so you can't bend it back, right?
The glass, the Gorilla Glass, is actually pretty stiff, and that's another reason it shouldn't bend much. But if you do notice that it's warped, don't try to bend it back, because you can. A few people have broken the glass trying to do that.
Yeah, and that's a couple $100 to fix that. And so now you're into your phone for like a grand. And then the other thing is, and some folks have upgraded to iOS 8, but this phone comes with iOS 8. And I've been reading that in some cases people have lost their service from their service provider.
Yeah, if you have an iPhone 6 or a 6 Plus.
If you have one of those, you're probably having a terrible time. Like, hopefully we weren't just hearing from Tom Merritt on his iPhone 6. Tom, you still there with us?
Yesterday, there was a software update, and if you were unlucky enough to let it happen, it took away the ability to do your data service, and you had to either downgrade to the earlier version or just go without data service until they upgraded.
Yeah, all right. Very good. And iPads are in the news as well. In fact, our guy Chris here follows the sports scene. And Chris, just tell Tom about what you found out.
Well, the NFL struck a deal with Apple where they have iPads instead of the old paper format to be able to look at the plays for the other teams and for their teams. And a lot of the NFL players are complaining because the battery life on these iPads aren't lasting. And so these guys get to the sidelines and they look at the battery life. There's like 20% left and they're panicking trying to rush through the playbook. So
shouldn't an iPad, Tom, this day and age last the length of a football game?
I think the people complaining the most about this are probably Microsoft, because Microsoft struck a deal with the NFL for Surface tablets to be put on the sidelines, and everybody's calling them iPads.
Oh, really?
You should not feel bad for thinking that, because the broadcasters of the football games keep saying, yeah, they're using these iPads down there and the batteries, you know, life isn't that great. They're calling them iPads and they're not. They're Microsoft Surface tablets.
You know what? You're 100% right. Microsoft paid almost $500 million to license their product on the sidelines. It is not iPad, but almost every article does mention it as an iPad.
So facial tissue is Kleenex and tablets are iPads. Have we gotten there?
Yeah. It's a Xerox issue right now. Totally.
Yeah, there you go. All right, so Tom, what's catching your eye besides all this Apple iPad junk these days in tech? What's your biggest story of the week?
The big story today is a vulnerability that's being referred to as shell shock. I won't go into the technical details of it, but basically anybody who runs OS X or has a router or a webcam that's online or even one of those connected light bulbs should keep an eye out for updates, because this is a pretty nasty security vulnerability that they're just now getting around to fix, which would allow anybody on the internet to get into your device and execute some malicious code.
And especially important if you have one of those connected houses. You mentioned the light bulbs. They could get into your security system, right?
Yeah, we had Steve Gibson on our show today, and he recommended that if you do have those connected devices, run them on the guest part of your Wi-Fi network. A lot of the newer routers will allow you to run a network for yourself and a network for guests. Run those devices on the guest network, because then if somebody does get into them, at least they haven't got into the rest of your network and into your own computers.
And your show will be posted soon at Tom Merritt, 2 R's and 2 T's, momentarily, right?
It'll be up there shortly, and it's already up at DailyTechNewsShow.com.
Very good. Daily Tech News Show. And there he is, Tom Merritt. Thank you, sir, for being on the program.
Thanks, Phil. Good talking to you again.
Yeah,
man.
Same here. Good guy. Knows his stuff.
His connection's much better than Jeremy's, just saying.
What? Really?
What are you saying?
Yeah, but we still lost him. There's something about that.
There might be a level of tech guy, and I think Tom might...
What are you throwing down the gauntlet here?
No, I'm just saying.
That's a challenge.
I'm just saying, you know, Jeremy's our tech guy, but he always, you know, hey guys, I want to talk to you about the iPhone.
Well, wait a minute. What was the website again? Daily Tech News something?
The iPhone's got a screen in it.
Daily Tech News Daily.
I'm talking on it right now.
Look, we didn't ask Tom about his drone fleet. Does he have a fleet of drones like Jeremy?
He probably does.
You think so?
What tech guy doesn't?
Yeah,
come on,
right?
You have to have drones.
They're all nerd burgers.
Yeah.
I like that. Nerd burgers.
Oh, gosh. All right. Well, speaking of nerds, we're not speaking of nerds anymore. Okay. Thank you. But
I was going to say Jay.
Oh, you know what? Call me a nerd. I'm good. I'm cool with that.
Yeah. All right. I have a story for you next, which you will not believe this. We were talking about stupid people earlier and putting their phones in the microwave. I perhaps have found the stupidest mom of the week, because we tend to have these stupid moms, and then they get on MTV and they have their own TV shows, right?
Yeah, and they have babies. And
a lot more money than we do.
Mm-hmm. So. True. So how stupid are they really?
Exactly.
This one's got to be first in line for her own reality show, and you're going to hear what she did with her baby next on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing, a cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door, and the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com. Hello, it's Phil Hewlett and friends. Who do you want to speak with? Oh, that's okay. It's a one-way conversation today. And it's a good thing, too, because I think you would just reach out and hurt somebody if you knew this woman. There is just so much wrong with this woman's parenting and her ability to prioritize. 19-year-old Breonna Sinclair Watkins of Lauderdale Lakes, Florida.
Hey!
Was driving on a Tuesday at about 1 in the morning. She had her 5-month-old baby with her, but no car seat. When she passed a cop, they saw that she had a headlight out and tried to pull her over, but Breonna kept driving several blocks before she eventually stopped. And when the cops finally caught up and pulled her over, the cop could hear crying, but he didn't see a baby. Eventually, he got Breonna to open the trunk and saw her baby inside. You know those little signs that people have, the cynical ones, you know, baby in trunk? And this time it was true. Breonna admitted she didn't want to get a ticket for not having a car seat, so she stashed the baby in the trunk by passing it through the armrest in the back seat that folds down. She did this while driving, by the way.
Oh, my God.
That's a cooperative baby right there. So at least she has that parenting skill. She's got her kid to cooperate.
She can multitask.
Except for the whole crying thing.
It was in the trunk for about 15 minutes, but fortunately it was not hurt. Breonna was arrested and charged with felony child cruelty, resisting an officer, and driving without a license.
Oh, wow. Boy.
Parenting skills.
That is Darwinism at its finest.
Yeah.
Not everyone should procreate.
Right. And some people won't get a chance because their relationships are just so wacky and celebrity-like. Isn't that right, Aaron?
It is. Apparently, you know, one of the couples we hear a lot about, Leanne Rimes, Eddie Cibrian, their relationship actually started with cheating. They both left their spouses and got married. Well, now tabloids are saying that he may be cheating again because apparently, according to sources, he sent a text message saying, "What time are you picking me up? We're going to go meet at blank blank restaurant, and then you take me in your car afterwards because I don't want to be near her."
Ooh.
Well, apparently he accidentally texted it to his wife, Leanne Rimes. And at first she said she thought, you know, they thought it was a joke. But it turns out he may be, just maybe, can't, no official proof here, that he has been seeing multiple women throughout the area, and Leanne Rimes just keeps kind of turning a blind eye.
Really?
Yeah, they say maybe for their reality show, maybe some, you know, some say she doesn't like to be alone, but not the healthiest relationship, it sounds like, going on
there. She should speak to the lady we had on earlier in the program.
I think she could use some advice on that.
She's afraid of being abandoned? Is that what it is?
It sounds like being abandoned and being
left
alone.
But come on, she's a good-looking lady now. She had a whole lot of baby fat issues when she was younger, but she got over that. Now she's hot. Well, I guess she's a hot, not just hot, she's a hot mess.
Yes, a little, yeah, probably.
What's the old
together.
Saying? Once a cheater, always a cheater?
Pretty much.
Just saying.
And they both did it, so I think they both probably knew it would happen again.
So resolve to cheat. So they must come out then and call it an open marriage.
At least on one side.
Ooh.
Right.
Yeah. That would be a juicy tidbit.
Well, what has Leanne not fessed up to yet?
We do not know.
Has there been some revenge cheating going on?
All we hear, everything I see about her is that she wants a baby, she wants a baby, she wants a baby, and he's like, no baby.
All she's getting is fodder for country music lyrics.
Yes. Yeah, right?
Yes, she'll follow her in Taylor Swift's footsteps and just start singing songs about her relationships.
Oh, I am so glad Taylor Swift is a singer-songwriter, because she would be an axe murderer otherwise.
Right?
You wouldn't want to date her.
No. Because you wouldn't survive.
No.
Right. Very good on that front. And then here's a good story, Jay. We always look to you for the heartwarming stories.
Yes, I usually bring it when it comes to the heartwarming stuff.
Mm-hmm. So loving and cuddly you are.
So a couple of cops out in Portland, Oregon, they came upon a crash, right? A guy had crashed his car, just kind of spun out of control because it rains up in Portland, Oregon. Spun out of control, hit a tree, and he actually got hurt. So the cops were there, and they're like, hey, buddy, all right. They got a medical attention, blah, blah, blah. Well, turns out the guy who crashed was actually working for Pizza Hut at the time and delivering a pizza.
Oh, no.
Yes.
What happened to the pizza?
It was a Hawaiian-style pizza, Phil.
Come on. I've never ordered a Hawaiian-style pizza.
Oh, my brother loves it.
Does he? Tell him Canadian. I said that's not a guy's pizza.
That's what I say.
My mom likes that.
Yeah, it's a
Bingo.
Mom pizza. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Dude, get the meat lovers and be done with
it. You don't put pineapple on your pizza, please.
No.
Come on.
No fruit.
No.
You know?
No fruit, no rose hips, none of that stuff.
Yeah, whatever that is. No ink.
No.
No squid ink. So anyways, the cops, they actually delivered the pizza for the guy.
That, wow, really?
So he wouldn't get busted.
And
so he wouldn't get in trouble with his employer.
And so the pizza didn't, you know, the cheese didn't coagulate.
I don't know. I don't say. It doesn't say if the, you know, the people who, well, can you imagine that? Ding, ding, ding. Hey, we've got your pizza and it's two cops. That's you're right. Like, all right, I'm busted.
Well, the longer the pizza stays in that Ziploc heater bag that they use there, the more the crust starts to take on the flavor of the box.
Yeah.
Was it 30 true. Minutes or less still?
No, obviously not. But
did the cops keep the tip?
I don't know. I bet they just kind of, hey, man, here's your pizza. We'll take care of
it. I'm just thinking of those pineapples sweating in the heat and just turning into a completely different animal by the time
it's
you
gross. Get
it. Yeah. Don't put pineapple on your pizza.
No.
But there was a guy hurt in the accident.
Yeah.
And
but
we're talking
about
pineapples.
To be okay. He's expected to be all right. So I just thought it was kind of cool that the cops ended up delivering the pizza.
Did they get a tip?
I don't know. Does not say in the story.
Pizza was late. They probably didn't get tipped. They probably got shorted.
Yeah. Thanks a lot. You know, the guy who answers the door.
Yeah,
I'm
that
sure
guy?
If you look through the peephole, you don't want to answer the door when you see the two cops there. You're kind of like, wait, what's going on?
Yeah, I know. I'm busted.
You ever deliver pizzas as
Bye,
a gig?
Honey. No.
I did once.
Did you really?
Yeah. I worked,
one time?
I worked for Pizza Man for about 4 months.
Yeah.
And there I've got all kinds of Pizza Man stories. But the worst ones are you have to go into bad neighborhoods.
Oh, yeah.
You know, where there's the guy sitting on the fence right when you come into the neighborhood. And they're the welcoming committee. And then you finally get to the house. And the guy answers the door, and you're like, you're sweating it because you're like 2 minutes late.
Yeah.
Or 5 minutes, or you're a half an hour late, or whatever it is. You know, the later you are, the more likely it is you're going to die.
Anybody ever, like, pull a gun or a bat or anything?
No, but the guy said, you're late, give me the pizza, and shut the door.
He didn't pay.
And now I'm standing there in the middle of, like, a really scary neighborhood. I'm going to bang on the door and say, hey, come on back out here and give me your... No.
No.
The next time he opens that door, he's not going to have money in his hand.
No.
It is time to leave.
No. So that came out of your pocket then.
Yeah. No. But you get some... you work at a pizza delivery place. You get some funny phone calls late at night.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah.
I'm sure. I might have been on the other end of a couple of those funny phone calls.
Yeah, what people want delivered. You never know.
Like Hawaiian-style pizzas.
People go off the deep end sometimes.
They do. And actually, there's an Italian architect that set out to create the world's coolest pool, and he may just have accomplished that. He has designed and created the world's deepest pool. It's actually 130 foot deep. And it holds 1.1 million gallons of water.
130 feet deep.
Massive.
Can you dive without equipment that deep?
I think there are some free divers that have learned to manage their breathing in such a way that they can lower themselves slowly and slowly and slowly, hold their breath for such a long time that they can go pretty deep.
Of course, they can't hear.
It's a rarity. Yeah, because their eardrums blow out.
But, wow, 130 feet. So do people use that for scuba training and that sort of thing?
They use it for scuba training. They also use it. They'll swim on the top and they'll do laps. It's an Olympic-sized pool or can be regulated into an Olympic-sized pool. But this thing also has, like, an underwater timing board. It looks like a scoreboard that you'd see at an NFL stadium.
Wow.
Underneath the water. It has viewing windows all around underneath so people can look through circuits.
Can watch you panic.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And they have these obstacles, too. Like, there's different shelving systems underneath to measure your depth, and also, like, poles that go from the bottom all the way to the top. So you can slowly work your way down or up, and depending
on
what
depth
you're at.
You're 100 feet down, and the people are looking at you, and then you look at them, and you think, I'm out of breath, and I have 100 feet to get back to the top.
And if you're a female, knowing people can see you while you're swimming in little windows, you don't look
good.
And you don't look good in a pool. Everything's
bigger. Jay, you know what I'm talking about.
Yes, unfortunately, yes. Yes, I do.
What are these shelves for, speaking of Italians?
Just different exercises. You know, if you want to go down to the 50-foot platform, you can do that. And maybe scuba divers or deep divers practice certain training exercises at those depths.
Yeah, all right.
And there's also a tunnel. There's a transparent tunnel that goes right underneath it.
So do they have a Chinese restaurant in there?
Now, that would be something, sitting there watching a bunch of Italian women swim and having noodles. There was this guy in China who's actually behind bars as we speak because he admitted to adding opium to his noodles.
Ooh.
Yes.
They still have opium? Of course they do. It comes out of flowers.
I guess. I have no idea.
Poppy,
but
right?
Routine check, you know, of the, I don't even know if they call them health inspectors over there or just the guy you got to pay off.
Noodle inspectors.
Yeah. Watch your mouth. What are you doing?
I don't know.
Get your mind out of the gutter. Your mind has been in the gutter the entire show.
You bring it out of me for some reason. Jeez.
What about the noodle inspector?
Evidently, the guy was just adding opium because he thought that it would give customers a euphoric experience when they ate his food.
He thought it would.
And then they would come back like, man, those noodles were so good.
What's the place called? The Den?
No, that's good. But no, I have no idea. It doesn't say. And to be honest with you, I can't even pronounce the guy's name.
Because it's Chinese?
Give it a try.
Leo Xu.
It's got an X in it.
No. Leo Xuahu.
This could take a while.
Well, you gave it a shot.
Yeah, that's it.
Incidentally, heroin is cheaper than beer in Pennsylvania.
What?
A study, and you know it's true because it's a study, just found that a small packet of heroin costs between $5 and $10. That's cheaper than a six-pack of beer.
Wow.
In Pennsylvania.
Wow, that's interesting.
I blame the Amish mafia.
Yeah, those guys are bad, man.
Yeah. Look out. Here they come on that horse and buggy.
And their scooters.
Carrying their heroin.
Hey, we love your comments. We have a comment page on every page at our new website, Phil Hewlett and Friends. We're on Twitter, at FAF Show. We're on Facebook. Thanks to our executive producer, Mike Stark, our producer, Brooke Peterson, production assistant, Nick Wright, assistant in training, Richard Freifeld. For Aaron Myers, Jay Campadonia, Chris Martin, I'm Phil Hewlett. Can't wait to talk with you next time on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing, a cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door, and the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com.